Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, The Demonic World. What do you know about the spirit world? Do you know that God is a spirit and that He doesn't reside in our physical universe? The spirit world actually dominates our existence, and if Christians can successfully apply God's spiritual laws, we will excel in the kingdom of God. The problem is that most people are ignorant about the spirit world, its laws which supersede our own, and the adversaries we face from the demonic world. As a result, humanity is bogged down with sickness and other types of problems. There is a definite correlation between the spirit world and the physical dimension in which we exist. This message is entitled, The Reality of the Spirit World. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And we could have a beginning of a new series today, which is called The Demonic World. The way this came about is that early last week, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, I just finished my series I had done on Can I Trust God? And I said, God, what do I preach on? What do I do next? Because I don't go to books. I don't go on the internet. I don't buy sermons. You can buy them for $25. I don't do that. So I got this message. I had to go to the bathroom. I think it was either Monday night, probably Monday night, to Monday or Tuesday. And as I was going there, I heard his voice saying, the demonic world, you're going to expose the spirit world. I said, okay, the demonic world. So I wrote it down the next day, with the morning. And that's how this came into being. It's going to be a very technical sermon. But I believe that it's important that we have this knowledge so we can navigate. So I'm going to pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now for anointing me to bring this message forth. So that, Father God, people can understand, they can take action, and they can do what is needed to be done to be victorious. And I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for speaking to all of us. And this I ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. If you got your outline, I'm going to start reading the first beginning of the introduction. Now, when I came back to Christ in 1965, all I had was Sunday school. That was my knowledge. And I knew that God was out there. Who He was, I didn't know. I had not the foggiest idea what He was doing, what He was planning to do. And being sentimental from Swedish background, which is similar to German background, Christmas is big, big in Europe, particularly in Germany and Sweden. I thought that Jesus came into existence in Bethlehem. And I thought, you know, His first name was Jesus, and the family name was Christ. And it's about how, that's my theology, what I knew at that particular time. 55 years later, having done a lot of deliverances, I have gotten an insight into the demonic world. I don't ask demons to show me or tell me anything. But as we have done hundreds, if not thousands of people, I see a pattern. And I've been able to deduct a number of things. And it is just like you had the man Newton. in England. He was sitting and watching an apple tree. And then suddenly he saw an apple fall down. And he got an understanding, the law of gravity. Something pulls that down. And that is how the law of gravity was discovered. Now, the law of gravity works all the time. So, we're going to move now, and I want you to understand this, that the spirit world is a real world. It is solid. It is not some kind of a fog. It is actually more real than this world. So we're going to start in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, and we're going to go to verse number 21. So what I want you to understand, we're going to establish first, God is a spirit, and he resides in the spirit world. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, how do you worship God in spirit? Well, when you were born again, your dead spirit was born, and it is with the spirit that we communicate with God. And so an unbeliever cannot worship God. Let me have that sink in. An unbeliever cannot worship God. In your cars, you usually have a radio. A radio consists of two parts. You got an AM part, you got an FM part. And in order to pick up FM station, you got to use the FM part. If you want to listen to an AM, you got to tune over to the AM part of the radio. Now, if your FM part malfunction, dies, you can sit all day long and dial and dial and dial, and you're not going to get any FM station. It only comes in on the FM part. So when we are born again, we can for the first time begin to worship God. When we pray, when we sing, when we thank him, it's with our spirit. The next point I have on my outline here is this. God consists of three persons in one. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How does that work? I don't know. But let's turn here to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to read here from verse 26 and 27. And by the way, in Genesis, the Hebrew word for God here is Elohim. English, just like Swedish or German, we have one name for God. Now the Hebrews, they have simply, they put a, what God is. Elohim means gods, plural. And God said, "Let us," he's talking to himself, "make us man our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. Let's slow down. Let's reread that. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. What's the image here? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You have a physical body, you have a soul, and you got a spirit. You and I are triune, just like God. Angels are not triune. Angels have a spirit. That's it. Now, in the spirit world, that spirit is solid. They have the capacity to move into the physical world and make that solid here. Animals are not triune. The human beings, we are the only ones that are made in the image of God. We are triune. It would be nice if I could park my body in bed and snooze right now and have a nice time. And I come in here and preach with my soul and spirit. But we cannot divide ourselves up. People in the cult do astral projection when they actually are able to get out of the physical body. But when they do that, the body is limp. We cannot function separate from who we are. I want you next to turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. If you want to think about it now, why did the Jewish leadership crucify Jesus? Why did he ask for his murder? Not because he was healing. Not because he was casting out demons. They murdered him because he said, I'm God. The Jewish concept of the Messiah is a man anointed by God. The biblical concept is that we have God coming down and taking on a human body. So let's read the first four verses. In the beginning was a Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Drop down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus. Let me reread the first two verses. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Jesus was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Jesus, and without Jesus was not anything made that was made. So here's a concept I want you to have now. Picture God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God is simply saying this, I am now going to do things separately. I'm the Father, I will be in charge of everything, I'm in charge. Jesus, which is me, but that's just part of me, is going to be the Creator and the Redeemer of mankind. The Holy Spirit is a person, and through the Holy Spirit, I will work my power. Can you really understand it? No. Can I understand it? No. Has any theologian understood it? No. We find out on the other side. We just know how it works. Let me try to illustrate that quickly for you. Most of us do not know how a television works. I used to know in the old days when you had the gun in the back that was shooting on the screen, 625 lines, I know how that worked. Then came the flat screens, plasma screens, and I really do not know how to make a television set. I don't know how it is made. All I know is I got a remote, I turn it on, and it works. But I don't know what it is. That's what we got to do with God. I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. So we now have simply established this now, that Jesus is the creator. When we do deliverance, we found this out, that people have this understanding, which is I had myself, that the Old Testament was God the Father handled that. Jesus is handling the New Testament. Therefore, I don't have to worry about any other laws in the Old Testament. That's not true. That's why we wrote a book called The God of the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, you have the moral law, the practical law, and the sacrificial law. Jesus fulfilled the sacrificial law. He kept the moral law. He kept the practical law. And the practical law still stands today. And the moral law still stands today. So people says, well, the practical law, you know, that was Old Testament. When God gave the practical law, he didn't say to Moses, I'm going to give you a class in biology. We're going to have a class in chemistry. And we're going to have a class in electricity. And I want you to understand, Moses, that the reason I give you these commandments is we got these laws. If you follow these laws, you will do well. But the Bible is not a scientific book. It's a teaching book. So God simply said, these are the animals you eat, the birds you eat, the fish you eat, the rest of you don't eat. When somebody gets sick, you got the plague. You simply, when they die, you take all their bedding and you burn it. If somebody got leprosy, you isolate them. If you look about a practical law, it was simply made for people's health. And we are so stupid today that we don't understand that. The sad thing is this. If you buy a car, and with a car comes a warranty, 5 years or whatever they give you. But there are stipulations. The factory will say you this, we want this car, but you have to change oil, you got to commit to the dealership, you got to do this, you got to do that, and then we will warrant it. If you don't follow those instructions, warranty is void. Hey, what? You know, we understand that. You know why? Money. We don't have a lot of money, right? So we want to make sure that our money is spent right. You got one body. It's guaranteed, warranted for 120 years by the manufacturer. If you follow his instructions. Now, do we compute that? No. We treat it like dirt, run it down. And then we said, God, you gave me that sickness. And God said, let's think now. You made yourself sick because you didn't follow my instructions. That was just a sideline here. So now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to talk in here first three verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, that means God who many times and in different ways spake in time past unto the Father by the prophets, has in his last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who bring the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I'm going to use my supplemental sheet that looks like this. And I made copies so that if you don't have the knowledge, you can look about it but later on. Now, when I went to high school and later on to college, I never did understand the periodical chart. I just couldn't comprehend it. And so here's a picture I'm going to give you. I want you to have an apple here. Then I want you to have a pear over here. And then we're going to have a green pea over here. So now, we're going to make an atom. So we take an apple. We take a pear, put it together. And then we have a pea that circulates around. That's the electron. Every atom consists of a proton, that's the apple, of a neutron, that's the pair, and the P is an electron. Now, every time you wash your hands, so you take a shower, whatever you ever do, water is very significant. It can be a liquid. It can be solid as ice. It can be in gas. Now, I want you to think about this. So God now, actually Jesus, when he did this, now, he designed this. So he said now that hydrogen, which is part of water, you have hydrogen, H2O. He said on hydrogen, water, I'm going to have one apple, but no pear. That's the only substance we have that don't have a neutron. Now ask a professor, why is that so? And he would tell you, we don't know. We just know how it is. So when you next time wash your hands, think about this, that water, the hydrogen that only has a proton. It doesn't have the pair. So now, I want you to have this picture. So God now, Jesus now, is going to do the creation. So, you got the periodical chart there. And so what you want to do now is this. He takes two apples, two pears, two more electrons, and suddenly now we got helium, not a gas. So the entire universe is made up of these basic elements. And the difference is how many you have together. Think about the ingenuity, the intelligence. Can you imagine that the entire universe is made up of atoms? And they're all the same, except hydrogen. The same components. You add more apples and more pears, and you look down upon the periodic chart here, and you get different things. You go down to oxygen, and you have more protons, and you have more neutrons, more electrons. You take oxygen, put them together with hydrogen, and you got water. So what I want to show you with simple this, that the physical world is made up of atoms. We have 118 known elements. Just a few years ago, there was about 110. We are discovering new elements all the time. There's also other particles in an atom. But we don't know. We can't see it. But there are other things in there. What is an atom? An atom is energy. So, if you flip over now your supplement sheet, we're going to come in now and talk about atom bombs and hydrogen bombs. And to do that, we're going to come back to Hebrews, but I want to go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12, verse number 4. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Would you agree that knowledge pretty much was the same up to about 1600 when we begin to discover the first was with the steam engine and a few other things, and it has kind of accelerated where today we are learning so much that no one can know everything. You got to specialize. Like a doctor. He's an ear and nose doctor, foot doctor, heart doctor. He can't know the whole body. It's too much. You got to specialize. So with that, we're going to come back to the atomic sheet. I've called it the atomic sheet. But what I'm going to go to now is back to my outline. We're going to go back here. The spirit world has always existed. Jesus, the creator of the earth, the universe, and humanity. We read this in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. The earth, the universe, is physical. To us, it is solid. It is not in the spirit world. It's a product created with a certain frequency where man was put into this with a physical body. Inside, I got a soul and a spirit. When the body dies, my soul and spirit goes to heaven. My soul has hands, ears, nose, everything else. I can walk in heaven. You hold up palms. You praise God. You got the memory. There's a person inside. But for me to be on earth, I got to drive a physical body. So then we go down to the next. Our universe is finite, meaning it has a beginning and an end. Someday, the physical creation will dissolve and its energy will return to Jesus. And God revealed this to the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Christ. So turn now to Isaiah 51 and verses 4 and 6. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make the judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, my arm shall judge the people, and the eyes shall wait upon me, and my arm shall lay first. Verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke. The earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. So we have here now, Isaiah, 7 years before Christ, says, this universe is going to evaporate, go up in smoke. If we go down now to 2 Peter 3, we read from verse number 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Notice now, with a great noise. The elements, the word elements here is atoms in Greek, and the atoms shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works of therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, cease to exist, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So what I want you to take with you on this subject now is simply this. Picture ice. Ice is water. If you lived in the earth for the cold, you can walk on ice if it's been cold enough, long enough. It's solid. But you put heat to it, and it becomes liquid. You put more heat on it, it becomes a gas. The atom is made of energy. This is God simply has taken a certain amount of energy and used that to create all the atoms that makes up the world, the universe, the galaxies. A lot of atoms. I mean the numbers, we cannot even begin to put a number on them. That's energy. When God is done with his universe, now you take your finger and go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And we read here in verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purchased sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, when John the apostle got this, not John the apostle, but when Paul got this and wrote this down for the Holy Spirit. He didn't know what an atom was. So I want you to understand now, in the throne room is some kind of a power unit that is just constantly putting out energy, which is holding every atom, every electron, every neutron in place. If you look into the atomic world with our big, we can magnify now, you can see how everything is just sitting and shaking. Everything is twirling around. And this energy will one day return when God will simply turn off the power in heaven and everything will dissolve. Let's talk about the atomic bomb now. Turn to the atomic bomb sheet. Man started out killing people with stones, axes, knives, spears, arrows, and we progressed until we found powder, gunpowder, and then we had explosions. An explosion is simply a very fast-burning fire. And they got the powder, then we were able to create dynamite, and now we got all kind of different explosives. And they're basically, explosive is a very fast-moving fire where you're oxidating. That's what that is. But you know, Satan said, you know, there's more power you can have. So if you look at your atomic sheet here, sir, so I'm going to read. But an atom of radioactive material splits into lighter atoms. There's a sudden powerful release of energy. The discovery of nuclear fissions open up the possibility of nuclear technologies, including weapons. Atomic bombs are weapons that get their energy from fission reactions. You ask, what is fission? You got it underneath. Fission is the action of dividing or splitting something into two or more parts. So they learned this. They had uranium. There's also another metal called plutonium. Now, uranium, if you enrich it, becomes unstable. So they found out when they made a nuclear bomb, atomic bomb, just giving it to you very lightly here, understand? If you have 22 pounds of uranium, it will start a fission by itself, and it will be an atomic nuclear reaction. So an atomic bomb is a tube. You put 11 pounds of uranium here, 11 pounds over here. They can actually put more if they want more power. You put a little bit of dynamite between this and that to explosion, and then you trigger it and you shoot them together, and when they come together, 22 pounds or more, you have an atomic bomb. Where does the energy come from? It comes by splitting the atoms, changing them, and you are now releasing an energy from the atom. That was not known before. If you've seen atomic bombs, I mean, they are powerful. So then they decided this, and I think this is Satan that was simply opening this up for people, that we should have a more powerful bomb. Now, they brought up the uranium bomb on Hiroshima, plutonium bomb on Nagasaki, and you burned, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of people, you knocked the city out. They said, well, we need a bigger bomb. So they learned this through science, chemistry, electricity, and so on, that instead of fission, you go to fusion. You put things together. And that's how we got the hydrogen bomb. Now, hydrogen bomb, and this is just, I try to say it as simple as possible. You have hydrogen contained. Now, you got to heat it up for it to have a fusion. So you need an atomic bomb. So a hydrogen bomb consists of a container with hydrogen. You have then a pipe where you have uranium on this side, uranium on that side, and when they trigger that, the uranium pushed together, now you have an explosion of fission. The heat gets up to a few million degrees, and now with that heat, suddenly now you got fusion, and then you had more energy coming out of the hydrogen, and now you're wiping out 10 times the area that you could do with an atomic bomb. That's how much power and energy is in an atom. So you can read here about this on the sheet here. I just want to give you that understanding so you know that we are talking about physical atoms, but they're made up of energy. And man has learned how to get in and take out a portion of that energy to making your nuclear bombs. It was said when they had a testing in the Bikini Islands in the 50s of hydrogen bombs that they had ships that were further out. And when they had the explosion, when the hydrogen bomb went off, they could see the flash because light goes faster than sound. And they said they saw the flash, and then came the roar. It was such an enormous roar that they had earmuffs on, but it was deafening. And then came the wind, a powerful wind. Let's go back to 2 Peter again and read from chapter 3. And I want to read here from verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Can you imagine the entire universe dissolving, all that energy coming loose? It's going to be a flash that could be unbelievable. It's going to be a noise. It's going to be unbelievable. And all that energy goes back to Jesus. Let's go back to the outline now. In Revelation 21:1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. This universe we're in will cease to exist, to be dissolved. Jesus has created another universe outside of this, in space. This is where we're going. It's going to be a universe, no sin, no devil. It's going to be a perfect place. So we're going from this universe to another universe. Let me talk to you now about time in the spirit world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they have always existed. So the picture I want to give you is this. You have, on this side of the pulpit, there is an eternity. It never ends. God has always existed. On this side here is an eternity. It will never cease. Here's the creation, the pulpit. We are sitting in the middle of eternity. The spirit world has always existed. The spirit will always will exist. Our universe is going to end. There's going to be a new universe. Let's turn to Isaiah 45. And like I said, this is I'm laying a foundation here, as we're going to be talking about the spirit world. That's Isaiah 45, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 21. Tell them, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from ancient time, who has told it the time, have not the Lord, and there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Emphasizing, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Look at me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Chapter 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God, and there's none like me. This is where our brains stop to work. But this is what God has simply said. I am God. I have always existed. There's no one else beside me. I'm it. How far out can you go in space? I mean, you leave this universe. What's outside the universe? It's endless. It's an empty space. It's filled with something. And you can go and go and go and go, and you never come to an end. It's an awesome God we have. And he's simply saying this. I always existed. There's no one else like me. Now, Satan spoke to Joseph Smith and gave him some information. And he told Joseph Smith a lie. There's more than one God. He says, hey, Joe, The devil said, you know, before this earth was created, there was another universe, another earth, and there was another God over, there was a lot of men living there. And they had a Mormon church. Some of them joined the Mormon church, did the temple work and everything else, did the rite, did the tithing in, and when they died, they became gods. And the God that is for us is a man that used to live on another planet. They even got a name for the planet. I can't remember it. And not only is he a man, he also had thousands of good-looking women. And this God, this man, all he does all day long is have sex. And he have these women create babies. And the babies are souls. And they are flown down on this earth and put into human bodies. Behind this man God, there are another man God and another man God. And through eternity, you've had all this happening. And folks, the devil said, if you join the Mormon church, you go through the temple worship, and you do the Masonic rituals that they have over there, and you pay the tithe to me, and you do just right, you will become a god in the next life. And you will get your own planet. And here's the thing, if you're married here, you have an option. If you don't want your wife to continue the next life, you just keep her sleeping, and she will never wake up. And then you can have millions of other women, good-looking, beautiful women, and then you sit on that planet and you just had sex every day, get babies going, and then you started on another planet, another cycle. Sound crazy? The crazier religion you create, the more people believe it. And Mormons swear by it. Now, the devil simply said this, now, you know, we're going to have, some of you are going to be gods afterwards, and some of you women will be selected to be with the gods. And Jack Mormons, these are Mormons that are not really up to the par, they will become managers on this new planet. And on a different planet, because there's going to be a whole bunch of them, they've got a lot of Mormon men, so each one could get its own planet. And so they're going to be in management. And the rest of us, we're going to be slave labor. For the rest of eternity, we're going to work, and supply these gods with everything they need. That's the Mormon heaven and eternity. God said, there's no one besides me. On the second page of your outline, the angels, holding fallen, were created before humanity. They do not age and are eternal. The holy angel will move into the new creation with Satan, while Satan is fallen angel will be tormented forever in the lake of fire. So let's turn to Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So, God's holy angels have a beginning, but they have no end. The fallen angels, the same thing. They had a beginning as good angels. They sinned, became bad angels, and they will live forever. Evil spirits, also known as demons and devils, are different creatures in the spirit world, and the Bible does not reveal their origin. Now, an evil spirit is part of Satan's kingdom and do not age. We're going to be talking about that in future sermons, but here's the setup. Satan is not on the ground. He's in the air. That's what he's called, a prince of the air. Fallen angels are not on the ground. They are also up in the air. Evil spirits are underground, and they are the ones that you and I have to deal with. Let's turn to Judges 9:23. Now, this is something that a lot of people are very uncomfortable with, but this is something we need to learn. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. And God sent an evil spirit. Wow, a demon. Well, let me say this to you now. When God judged Israel in time past, he used famines, he used drought, but what else did he use? He used the Assyrians, the Egyptians, the Babylonians. God used ungodly, terrible people, and he sent them to punish his people, Israel. God uses evil spirits to punish us. God allows evil spirit to punish us. Let's turn to 1 Samuel 16:14. But the spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. When you become demonized, or demon-possessed, whatever you want to call it, you have broken spiritual laws, and that gives evil spirits or fall or demons the legal right to afflict you. I'm not going to skip you here, but I'm just going to do it out of memory. We had King Nebuchadnezzar. He was warned by Daniel. He didn't listen. And God struck him with insanity. He was insane for a season. And then he was restored. That's a mental illness spirit. Spirit of insanity. 1 Kings 20:10. Have you picked it up in verse number 20 through 23? And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramona, Ramoth, Gilead? And one said on this manner, another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, you shall persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. In this introduction that I'm doing here right now today, I am just simply telling you now, we talked about the physical world. We're talking now about the spiritual world. If you learn to navigate, we can do well. If you don't know how to navigate, we do bad. On this property that we have here, where the production center is, we have snakes. Most of them are garden snakes, but they are from time to time some rattlesnakes. Does that mean that we are scared of walking around? No. But I do know this. In the summertime, matter of fact, that from now on, I don't walk into tall grass because there might be a rattlesnake there. So what I'm doing is this, I'm staying away from it. I'm smart. So what we need to do is this, we need to learn this. There are evil spirits. They're not very nice. They can only afflict us if we open a door. So we need to learn how to navigate. Let me give a little bit short sum over here on the bottom. The spirit world has always existed. It is eternal. The Bible reveals little about what God has done in eternity past, beyond the great white throne judgment and the movement of new creation. We do not know what happened in eternity. Beyond that, mankind needs to begin thinking with a spirit born of God, not the intellect that comes from moving in the flesh. And my last scripture today will be from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse number 9. But as is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. With things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unsaved person, receives not the thing of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he is a spiritual judge of all things, yet himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. My soul computer can connect with Jesus, a supercomputer, and I can download information that I know that are spiritually. There's no reason to be scared. This is where you are. And it is just like, this is a final example I'm going to give to you. You have a person that for some time had pain in the abdominal area. And they finally come to the place that you can't take it anymore. And they go to the doctor. And the doctor checks it out, sends them down, has some x-rays and this and this and that. And then the doctor sits down with the patient after the results are in and say, I'm very sorry to say this to you, but you have incurable cancer inside your stomach area. The person falls apart and says, wow! Listen, he didn't get the cancer in the doctor's office. It was discovered there. He got the cancer by years of ungodly living and eating the wrong stuff and do things they shouldn't do. When people come to us for deliverance, they are messed up because they've been doing things that are wrong. Or they are born to parents that were screwed up. And the first thing we do in this ministry, we spend about 3 days, is to simply line them up with a spiritual loss and have repentance. And once we got a person lined up with a spiritual loss and they have repented, now we got the authority to throw the demons out. And now the demons will stay out unless you open the door. And this is my introduction to the demonic world. And we will continue and dig into this. So don't be scared. I'm just simply telling you what you already had. And if you could take a magnifying glass and magnify your skin, you will find that you have millions of bacteria crawling on there, looking like ants, ugly things. I mean, your body is crawling on it. Now, you don't worry about it because you can't see it. I know I got germs there. Now, I got an immune system. So we learned this. Don't put your hand in those things, stick them in your mouth, or your nose, or rub your eyes, or they will get inside. Okay? So you don't freak out. I wish I could have a big magnifying machine in here, and I would take you in here, and I would show you all the crawling things on your skin that would scare the daylight out of you. I said, that's how it's been since you were born. You just learn how to work with it. You wash your hands. You don't stick them in. You don't do things. And if you don't do that, it's no problem. If you cut yourself, you put stuff on it, and you kill out the germs, and you make sure it's clean. That's how it is in the demonic world. Learn how to walk with it. Know how to disinfect. Know how to kick the demons out. No big deal. This is how it is. So with that, you've been listening to me right now, and you are not saved, and you're simply saying this, you know, I do not know Jesus. Well, today is your blessed day. All you have to do is to say, Father God, I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through death and resurrection I can be saved. And right now, all you have to do is to say, Father God, forgive me my sins. I'm sorry. I believe in Jesus. Come on in, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, and save me, and he will. And you can be saved. But we finish here. When the screen goes blank, another screen will come up for you. And you will see three crosses. You will hear a very soothing voice come on and say, my dear friend. And that's Pastor Charles. And he will spend a few minutes with you and go through some scripture and pray with you to make sure that you can get saved today. And to those of you that are Christians, some of you are backslidden, some of you are walking with the Lord, make a decision today. Well, I'm going to look into the spirit world. If this is the way it is, I'm going to learn how to navigate so I can be victorious. If you know how to navigate, you can be victorious. If I cut my hand and it starts bleeding, I'm not going to freak out. I'm not going to say, oh my God. The germs are going to come in. No, I'm going to get some hydrogen peroxide, 3%, clean it up, put the hydrogen peroxide on, kill out the germs, put some salve on, and put a little thing over it, and I'm good. But if I neglect it, it will grow and grow until they have to cut my hand off. So learn this. Deal with it, and you got no problems. Pastor Charles.
Father God, from the moment that we're born, we begin to grow and to learn things. And the same is true in the Christian life, that we learn the basics. We learn that there is a God, that he loves us. We learn about sin and so forth. And so, Father God, as we continue now to learn just more advanced things when it comes to the demonic world, the reality of a spirit world that is a parallel dimension to us, that this planet is a prison planet that we live on, not because we're prisoners here, but because this is a planet that God has designated that evil spirits and fallen angels would be here. And so, Father God, as we recognize the reality of this, instead of being an ostrich and saying, we're just going to stick our head in the sand and let's just pretend it doesn't exist. Father God, help us to recognize the realities that we have around us. And in doing so, we can have an abundant life that Jesus promised. He said that we could have an abundant life, we can be victorious, and that we don't have to walk around being afraid. We don't have to be, you know, looking over our shoulders. We are children of Jesus, children of God. We are born again. We are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. And there is nothing that the devil can do to hurt us when it comes to that. Yes, he can sting us, but we have authority in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity.
There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us."
That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Demonic World, and was entitled, The Reality of the Spirit World. God is a spirit. He is timeless with no beginning or end. This means that the spirit world is perpetual as well. Conversely, the physical universe is finite, and one day it will cease to exist. The physical world is dominated by countless angels, holy and unholy. Satan, the other fallen angels, and demons are confined to the earth. The spirit world dominates our existence, and if Christians can successfully apply God's spiritual laws, we will excel and do mighty things in the kingdom of God. The problem is that most people are ignorant about the spirit world, its laws which supersede our own, and the adversaries we face from the demonic world. There is a definite correlation between the spirit world and the physical dimension in which we exist. Humanity doesn't have to be bogged down with problems. This is why Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1757. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.